We're going to be in Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. When Moses was about to die, he encouraged the people to be strong and courageous, and that Joshua was going to take them up into the land of promise. He also encourages Joshua to be strong and courageous. He says, as the Lord was with me, the Lord will be with you. David encourages Solomon to be strong and courageous and to do the work that God has called him to do. And here in our scripture today, God encourages Paul to be strong and courageous. Did you know that we are God's people? We're the people of the resurrection. We're those who serve the God who can do all things, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who holds everything in His hands is the God we serve. And we need to be strong and courageous as God's people because the world is in need. The world needs to hear the gospel. The world needs to hear the truth about what's right and what's wrong. Is in the culture, we need to speak the truth in love. We need to be salt and light to a world in need. Well, Paul has gone through quite an ordeal. He's warned by the church that trouble is coming in Jerusalem, and he goes to Jerusalem. He is dragged out of the temple. He is beaten by a mob. He then is arrested by the Romans, gives his speech before the Jews under Roman custody, and then is taken by the Romans to be scourged. But he says, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, so he gets out of that. They don't scourge him, but they're trying to figure out what is it that he has done and why are the people so upset with this guy named Paul. And so they bring him to the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish body, that was the authority in all matters in Israel except for the death penalty, which the Romans had to carry out. And so he brings them to the Sanhedrin, and Paul is standing before them, and they begin to interrogate him. And just as Jesus promised, he said, when you stand before authorities, I will give you the words to speak. Paul realizes, hey, I've got a group of Pharisees and Sadducees in here, and they disagree on the resurrection. And by the way, that's my main point for preaching the gospel anyways, to tell people that Jesus died and rose again. So I'm going to bring up the resurrection. And he begins, and this is the center of the gospel, but he also brings it up, and God takes it and uses it to bring the Pharisees to his side. So the Pharisees, who were such an enemy of Jesus, come to Paul's defense in this matter of the resurrection, but there is this big fight that breaks out in the Sanhedrin over this matter of the resurrection, and finally the Romans just take him back to the barracks, and they say, well, goodness, they're going to tear him apart if we leave him in here. And so Paul has been through all of this mess, and he is finally, a day has passed, he's getting ready to, I guess, go to bed, or perhaps he's already gone to bed. And God appears to him and begins to speak into his life and encourage him in the midst of all that he's going through. And aren't you glad that our God does that, that he meets us where we are as his people and ministers to our needs? God knew what he needed, and he provided what he needed and reassured him that there was still a purpose and a plan that God had for him in his struggle. So he encourages him. Now, some translations will take God's address as the phrase, take heart, is how it's translated. But actually, it can be translated, be courageous, and I think that is the better translation of the two, even though both of them are legitimate, because the word group that's used there is the word that is used for courage in most contexts. And so I believe it should be so used here. If you had been beaten by a mob, if you had nearly been scourged by the Romans, and then the Sanhedrin had nearly torn apart, torn you apart, then perhaps you would need courage too. And so God appears and addresses Paul and calls him to courage. And so we need to be courageous and take those steps of faith that God calls us to take in this life. The title of my message is Be Courageous. And look with me at verse 1 of Acts 23. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and he said, "Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience to this day. The high priest Ananias ordered that those who were standing next to him strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, 'God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. You are sitting there judging me according to the law, and yet in violation of the law, you are ordering me to be struck.' Those standing by said, 'Do you dare revile God's high priest?' 'I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest,' replied Paul. 'For it is written, you must not speak evil of a ruler of your people.' Then when Paul realized that one part of them were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the Sanhedrin, 'Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees, and I am being judged because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead.' When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, and neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees affirmed them all. The shouting grew loud, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees' party got up and argued vehemently, 'We find nothing evil in this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?' When the dispute became violent, the commander feared that Paul might be torn apart by them and ordered the troops to go down, take him away from them, and bring them into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood by him, or with him, and said, 'Have courage, for as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so it is necessary for you to testify in Rome.'" Be courageous. Why should we be courageous? Well, be courageous because God has got you. God has got you. Verse 6, Paul realized one part of them were Sadducees, the other part were Pharisees. See, he knew what they believed because he had been a part of this group. He cries out in the Sanhedrin, "Brothers, I'm a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I'm being judged because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." This did two things. On the one hand, it showed this Roman official who was trying to get to the bottom of why they were so upset at him, something of the nature of why he was upset, or they were upset at him. But it also provoked a controversy, which ended up in the Romans once again withdrawing Paul from the Jews. Now, Jesus had promised. He said, "When you stand before these rulers, it will not be you speaking. It will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Don't give thought about what you're going to say, because God himself will be with you. The Lord will speak through you in those times. And so you trust me." So here Paul is brought before these authorities in justice with the Romans. He said, "Hey, I'm a Roman citizen," and escaped the scourging. Just as before that, he had told the Roman official, he says, "Hey, I'm a city of an important city. Would you let me speak?" And he agreed to let him speak. God's just giving him, guiding him throughout this process. Well, here, God gives him the perfect thing to say to get to the heart of the issue, but also to deliver him from this body. Because the Jews, the Jewish leadership specifically, wanted to kill Paul. So they withdraw him from them, and he is secure in the barracks. But you see, even though it was the Romans that brought him out, and even though God used these different individuals and these soldiers and so forth, it was ultimately God that was taking care of Paul in his need. God has got you. If you are doing the work of God, God goes with you, and God will provide what you need. And, you know, I love the fact, over the years I've seen this time and time again, God provides the resources that are needed. God provides the people that are needed. Did you know you and I need other people? We do. I need other people, so do you. And God has put the right people into place. He's put the right friends into place over the years, and has brought the right messages to me. When I've had a need for encouragement, there's been someone to encourage. When I've had a need for counsel, there have been people to give wise, godly counsel. And God has a way of providing just what we need for the circumstance. By the way, He does that in our families too. He provides what we need as we interact with and minister to our kids. As we pray and ask Him for wisdom, He gives it liberally. What about your spouse and your relationship with your spouse? God can provide with that as well as we call upon Him and ask Him for wisdom. God can guide us in that process, and He can provide what we need. Sometimes we may not know what we need. Have you ever been there? I don't know what I need, but I need something. You can ask God to supply what you need. And God's got you. As you serve Him, He has got you. We are held in the hands of our great and mighty Savior. Jesus said, no one can pluck them out of my hands. We are in the strong, mighty hands of our Savior. And listen, Paul may have been in peril, but he was also in the hands of Jesus. And when we're in the hands of Jesus, we are secure. I want you to know that God is sovereign over everything that happens in our lives. Sometimes that may be a struggle for us, but the alternative is not a good one, right? To say God's not sovereign is to say that there's no control over anything, right? There's no order. There's no sense that I can trust God for the future. But God is sovereign. God holds everything together by His power, and He's sovereign over our individual lives. He's in charge. He's in control. Sometimes He may not deliver us from trouble or suffering. Sometimes He may not even deliver us from death. We may give our life for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. But God will always be with us, and we'll always be held in His hands, and He'll always provide what is needed at the moment we need it. We're in His hands. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Isn't that a wonderful truth to know in these days? In which there's so much uncertainty around us, to know that we are in His hands. God has got you. Be courageous. God's got your back. He's with you. Take heart. Be courageous. Yeah, I heard Jonathan Falwell one time. I was at a pastor's conference, and he followed his dad, Jerry Falwell, in their ministry there in Lynchburg, Virginia. And he said, my father was very different than me, and we had different gifts. And he said, I felt very uncertain, and I felt very inadequate to fill his shoes. And he said, but God assured me that He would be with me. And can I tell you something? A lot of times in life, we feel inadequate. We don't know what to do. We feel like the circumstances of life may be beyond us and beyond our understanding, beyond what we can control, but they're never outside the hands of our God. He is sovereign over them, and we can trust Him in the midst of those things. If God calling you to service of some kind, trust Him. Be courageous. Step out in faith. Do what God's calling you to do. It may not be easy. Certainly wasn't easy for Paul. But God will be with you, and God has got you. So be courageous. Why should we be courageous? Be courageous because God has got you. Be courageous because God is standing with you. Verse 11, the following night, the Lord stood by him. You could also translate stood with him. It means basically the same thing, but stood by him speaks of his presence. Stood with him speaks of the fact that he is with him in his crisis. And I kind of like standing with him because that's, God is doing both. He's with him, but he's also standing with him. the unseen partner that Paul had when it seemed like everything was against him was the Almighty God. I remember when I was in the Air Force, we had a basic training. There weren't too many days where we had a lot of fun in basic training, but this one day we had a field day, and they had a tug of war. And I happened to be watching these two groups of airmen that were tugging on the different sides of the rope, and at the back stood this big, huge guy. He looked like Lee Haney or Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. He had these huge, rippling muscles. His legs were bigger around than my waist, and just powerful guy. And he's just standing there with a rope behind him, and everybody else is tugging. And all of a sudden, he goes, whoom, whoom, and it was over. Then I saw the next group came up. Same thing. The next group came up, same thing. There was nobody that could beat them. And it wasn't because that all of those people on that rope were so great. It was because they had somebody with them who was able to get the job done. And you and I have somebody with us who's able to get the job done. The great God of the universe, Jesus Christ, who speaks and armies are decimated. This is the power of our great God. And He is with us. He stands with us in the trial. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they refused to bow to the idol, the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And they get tattled on and are brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, well, if you'll bow, he said, we'll play the music again. If you'll bow before this statue, fine. But if not, nothing, no God will be able to save you from my hand. They refused to bow. Nebuchadnezzar gets really, really angry. He tells the people to heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. And he's bound these young men. And he has his soldiers bring them to the furnace to throw them in. And the furnace is so hot that when the soldiers are throwing them in, the soldiers get burned up in the fire. But Nebuchadnezzar's watching and he says, I see three men walking around in the furnace of 4 men. And one is like a son of the gods. You see, Jesus was right there with them in the fire. And despite the fact that they had heated it 7 times hotter, the only thing that was burned were the bonds that held them with their hands. And they didn't even smell a smoke. Listen, this is the security that God brings. Did you know the devil cannot touch you without the permission of God? Job, you know, the story of Job, Satan comes to God. He asks for permission and to do, and of course, God's using the devil for his own ends. And he's teaching Job some things, but the devil has to ask permission, but God tells him, but you can't take his life. First of all, you can't touch him, and the second time, you can't take his life. You see, God's in control. Nothing can touch us, not the demons of hell, not our enemies who are around us. No one can touch us outside the permission of our great, awesome, mighty God who stands with us. Joshua, when he's getting ready to go take Jericho, had this individual come. He said, are you for us or are you for them? And he said, neither. I come as the captain of the host of the Lord's army. And Joshua is in awe. And of course, God was going with Joshua and would exert his power on behalf of Joshua. Did you know Jesus, when he was getting ready to go to the cross, he told them, he said, look, do you not know that I could call upon the name of my God and there'd be 10 legions of angels? Took one angel to kill 180,000 Assyrian troops outside the city of Jerusalem. Jesus said, I could call 10 legions of them right now and my enemies couldn't stand against me. But Jesus willingly went to the cross to redeem you and me from sin. You see, our God stands with us. Never forget that. You're not in it alone. You have an unseen partner as you serve the Lord, who has great power, who stands with you, who serves with you, who empowers you, and who can stand against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Be courageous. Why? Because God has got you. Because God is standing with you. Thirdly, because God has called you. God has called you. Verse 11, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Have courage." Said, "Have courage." God is calling him to courage. God is calling him to continue to speak in his name, to continue to fulfill the calling that Christ had made upon his life on the Damascus Road so many years earlier. He's calling him to fulfill his mission. Did you know where God guides, he provides? And where God calls, he goes before us. He says, have courage, or take courage. You need to be courageous because God has called you. If God has led you to serve in some way, God has called you. Now, I believe every Christian has a call upon their life to serve the Lord and to share Christ and some things like that. And then there may be some times where God will lay a burden upon your heart. A while back, one of our ladies told me that she had a burden to start a Wednesday night children's group. And God has blessed that Wednesday night children's group. I'm so grateful for that. God called her. He tapped her on the shoulder. He said, this is what I want you to do. If God calls you to do something, you need to be courageous. Because God's call means that he's going before you. Sometimes we question God, don't we? We say, well, Lord, I'm not sure about saying that. I'm not sure how that would go over, Lord. I'm not really sure about doing that. God, what if I do that and somebody misunderstands? What if I do that and people don't like it? What if I do that and people turn against me? But God still calls us, and he calls us to step out in faith and to be obedient. But you see, when he calls us, he goes before us. And so we can step out in faith. That's why Joshua could step out in faith. I've often thought the military strategist probably would have laughed at Joshua's strategy. Well, what are we doing, Joshua? Well, we're going to march around the city once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to march around it 7 times. We're going to blow trumpets and we're going to yell real loud. And the Lord will deliver the city. Right? Doesn't sound like much of an army strategy, does it? But this is what God had called him to do, right? So Joshua simply steps out on faith and does what God has called him to do. But you see, the power wasn't in Joshua. The power was in the God that he served. And as he stepped out on faith and did what God had called him to do, the walls, the great high walls that they drove chariots across, fell into rubble, and God delivered the city into their hands. It was a miracle. What could God do if we simply step out on faith and trust him in the day-to-day details of life? If we'd be courageous for him. Paul was definitely courageous, right? God had called him to Jerusalem. God said, he a couple of chapters ago, Paul told him, he said, I'm constrained. I'm bound by the Lord to go to Jerusalem. God has told me this is his purpose for me. And I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to fulfill the purpose God has given me. And they said, well, Paul, there's going to be trouble. We know God's shown us there's going to be trouble for you. I don't care. I'm going to go anyway. Well, Paul, they might persecute you. He says, I'm willing to die. God has called me. I'm going to go. Now, that's courage. And Paul went. And God is working out the purposes that he has for Paul. He gives his message in Jerusalem, but God is ultimately going to take him to Caesar himself. And he's going to speak to the leader of the entire Roman Empire. God had a purpose in all of this. God has called you. So be courageous. Step out and do what he has called you to do. So why should we be courageous? Be courageous because God's got you. Be courageous because God is standing with you. Be courageous because God has called you. Be courageous because God is not done with you. Aren't you glad? God is not done with you. The little boy wore a t-shirt that said, be patient for me. God is not finished with me yet. Praise God, he is not finished with us. Well, verse 11, God assures him of that. For as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so it is necessary for you to testify in Rome. You see, God still had a purpose for Paul. Can I tell you something? If you're still taking a breath, God still has a purpose for you. The Bible says our days are written in his book. God has a specific number of days for you to live. As long as you are vertical. I was talking to a guy a couple of weeks ago. I asked him how he's doing. He said, I'm vertical. That's good. That's better than the alternative, isn't it? But if you're vertical, then God is not finished with you. From time to time, I've had those who were homebound or maybe elderly and unable to do much for the Lord. I've had them ask me this question. Do I have any purpose? Sometimes I feel like, why does God leave me here? I don't feel like I'm doing anything good for the Lord. I don't know what my purpose is. Well, guess what? You don't have to know. All you have to do is be obedient to God. And several of those people who've said those things to me, they're coming to mind as I'm thinking about this, were great ministers for God, even though they were homebound. Naomi Brummett, who was in our church for years and years, used to teach Sunday school in our church before she went to be with the Lord. She was homebound for a number of times, and I believe she mentioned that to me, asked me that question. But her nurses were telling me about how much of a blessing that she had been to them and how encouraged they were spending time with them. We had conversations about God. I witnessed to one of her nurses one day, but they were impressed by what God was doing through her life. And even more recently, we've had others. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God is able to use you where you are. And if you're taking a breath, God's got a purpose for your life. Just trust him and do what he tells you to do. And let him be worried about what those purposes are. And he'll fulfill those purposes through your life. Sometimes you don't know. I remember one time hearing about Bobby Welsh, who did the faith evangelism strategy that many of the churches in our convention used to try to reach people for Christ. And he was telling about when he was in the military, he was witnessing to this man in this Jeep. And the man didn't receive it, didn't want to hear it, and you know, it was unsuccessful. But he was able to at least talk with him a little bit. Well, what he didn't know was there was a man in the back seat that was listening to their conversation. Years later, he was in a convention hall. This man comes up to him. He says, Bobby, you may or may not remember me. He said, I was sitting in the back seat. He said, do you remember when you were witnessing to this person? And it took him a minute to even recall it, you know. But, oh, yeah, I remember that. He said, I was sitting in the back seat. He said, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. You see, Bobby didn't know what his purpose was. He probably thought, well, maybe I failed today. This guy didn't trust Christ. But in the back seat was somebody who was listening, who gave his heart to Christ. You see, we don't know what God's about. We don't know what he's doing with our lives sometimes, but God can take our weakness and our frailty. The Bible says, and Paul's saying, Lord, take this thorn away. God says, I won't, because my power is perfected in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, I will glory in my infirmity, so that the power of God may rest upon me. Are you weak? Are you limited? Can I tell you something? Rejoice. The power of God can be made strong in you. God is not finished with you yet. Keep serving him. Keep being obedient. Keep being courageous in what you do for Christ. And your obedience will be honored by God. I love the personal touch of God's appearing to Paul. I'll never forget, I was pastoring in my first church. There was something happening. It's been so long ago, I don't even remember what the problem was. But I remember I was concerned about it. And Sherry had gone to bed, and I was kind of standing in the living room area, and I just started talking to God about my problem. And there, right in the middle of that room, I sensed such a powerful presence of God there with me. And it was as if God was saying, Roger, I've got this. I'm with you. You just keep serving me. And what I love about that is not only did it tell me some details about God and what he was doing in my life, which was an encouragement, but it also showed me that God cared for me personally. Did you know that God cares for individuals? Yes, there's a group of people here today listening to this message, maybe watching online. But listen, God is not just concerned about the group. He's concerned about each individual person. Each person's valuable to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But what does the scripture say? He left the 99 to go after the one. Right? The 99 sheep, well, there's one that's gone astray. The shepherd goes after the sheep that's gone astray. God cares for you. Never forget that in the middle of your struggle. God's with you. He cares for you. He loves you. And you matter to him. And when the struggle is hard, he'll come alongside you and he'll lift you up. He's the good shepherd. He might carry you on his shoulders. He might bind your wounds. Sometimes it's not easy serving the Lord, but he will always be there for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you give us to be courageous as we face the different things in our lives, God, but also as we serve you, and especially as we serve you. God, help us not to be fearful. God, help us not to hide our light under a bushel. Help us not to be afraid to speak for you or to witness or to provide a word of encouragement or maybe even a word of rebuke, God, as you lead us by your Spirit. But let us do so in love, and let us do so trusting you that you're with us as we serve you. And Lord, as we are faithful and trust you, God, we know that you will be with us and that you will accomplish the purposes you have for our service for you. And Father, for those who are here today that may not know Jesus Christ, I pray for them. I pray that you would draw them with your Spirit. And in a moment, as I share about how they can have a relationship with Christ, God, I pray that you would help them to hear that and understand it and respond and exercise their will to turn from sin in their own way to follow Christ and to receive the gift of eternal life and simple trust. Have your way in our midst today.